Welcome back to Dave's Gone By on AM 1240 WGBB in Freeport, New York, and live streaming on the web at am1240wgbb.com. Music formats continue to change along the radio dial. I mean, a couple of weeks ago I did that rant about CBS FM being killed and turning into some odd format called Jack that's going around the country and not particularly beloved by anybody, be it listeners or station managers. They sort of see it as a stopgap, and I guess we'll be talking a little about that with my special guest. One of the things that people at least sort of like about that new-ish format is it broadens the spectrum a little bit. It isn't just the same old songs. It isn't just Top 40. Even in the case of CBS FM, it isn't just hits from the 50s and 60s. At least they go to the 70s and 80s. Doesn't make it a good format, but it broadens the range of music a little bit. And that idea is crucial to everybody who loves music, whoever did love music, because I don't think we all grew up just liking one particular thing. I mean, we would listen, I guess, to our parents' record collection or go spinning the radio dial, so you would listen to rock and roll, and then you hear something classical. And then you turn the dial a little further along, you hear a reggae station. And that was all cool. It's all good, as the phrase goes. And it's something we try to do here, occasionally, when we play music, something I do on my other program called Filler Up, which is later on Thursday nights. Eclectic is good. And the nice thing about it is, one of the great things about music is you want to share. If you discover a certain kind of sound or band or musician that you like, you want to hear people who are kind of in the same genre, not sounding exactly the same, not a copycat, but someone who is, let's say, as virtuosic or as clever with lyrics or has as pretty a voice. And then you tell friends, and you say, oh, you mean you like so-and-so? Well, you should really listen to so-and-so, because they're kind of related. Well, my guest tonight, Ari Abramowitz, has codified all that, and has thought about that a lot, and said, there ought to be a book, a thing that you can give people that will tell them, well, you know, if you like Captain Beefheart, you really ought to be listening to Primus and this and that and so on. And sometimes the answers are pretty obvious. I mean, if you like, let's say, Howlin' Wolf and Old Blues, you might want to jump to the Rolling Stones and earlier Clapton and the Yardbirds and things like that. But sometimes there are bands you've never even heard of who might interest you, that you don't know about, that would be in the same genre that you'd like. So he's compiled this book called Pocket Rocket, and that's P-O-C-K-I-T-R-O-C-K-I-T, unlike the sexual aid. It's a musical aid. Pocket Rocket Music Finder, published by Music Guru Books, and the website is pocketrocket.com to find out more about it. And what it does, I'll let Ari Abramowitz tell us what it does and how it does it. First of all, how are you, Ari?
Very well, Dave. Thank you very much.
Tell us about Pocket Rocket, the music finder.
Well, hey, it's a compact music guidebook, and the whole entire goal is to help turn people on to music they don't know mm-hmm. through music they already do know. You got 30 to 40,000 records coming out every year, plus 30 to 40,000 last year and the year before, yada, yada, yada. People get overwhelmed. They walk into a record store. They don't even know where to start. I got friends of mine who are just still listening to their old Pixies and Jane's Addiction records. And
I'm sorry, I just have to break. Who would have thought? You know, I'm a middle-aged guy. I'm like 41 years old, and I came of age in the 70s. Who would have thought that someone would come on to in a conversation with me, on or off the air, and say, oh, they're old Pixies and Jane's Addiction records. Like, that's like from the 1940s and 78
RPM. Yeah, we gotta do the math, man. It's like 15 plus years ago.
Jeez. And okay, so sorry for interrupting. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just they haven't checked out new stuff. I remember a good friend of mine, downloaded Napster probably around like 98, 99, whatever. And he's like, dude, I got 10 billion songs in front of me, and I can't even type anything in. Didn't even know where to start.
Hmm.
You know, just mind went blank because you have so many options, and that is only going to keep increasing. People dig music. It's a big part of everyone's life. But how to actually get stuff that you're going to dig.
Right.
I find that people don't really know how to describe what they like. They don't know if they like rock or hard rock or progressive rock or psychedelic rock or AM pop or soft rock. They don't know how to describe it. They know what artists they like, mm-hmm. whatever genres those may be. And they, as you were pointing out before, they like a whole massive array of stuff. No one, very few people I know just listen to Slayer. Okay, very few people I know.
Very few people I know
just listen to Joni Mitchell. However, a lot of people I know, including myself, listen to each of those artists in their due time. So basically, people do have much more eclectic taste than are usually given credit for, and people do want more music in their life if they just could have it made easy for them, if it could just be served on a silver platter. So the goal of Pocket Rocket is to provide that silver platter, that bridge, that connection from what people already do know to stuff they don't know yet.
How did you decide how to put it all together, as opposed to just charts? And it doesn't look charty. It's a nice, handy book that you can sort of pick up and carry around with you, I guess, to a record store. In fact,
well, yeah, the idea was, again, I wanted the book to look familiar. I didn't want it to look intimidating or oppressive. So I picked a similar size as our good, tried-and-true Zagat restaurant survey. Okay, same dimensions, and so when people would see it, like, okay, that's, I've sort of seen something like that before, doing something different. Zagat helps me out with restaurant stuff. All right, well, then maybe this book can help me out with music.
What was your starting point? What was point zero for you? What was the first album or artist that you chose to go from?
Oh, geez, I couldn't even tell you, because I probably started writing, I think, when I got back from my honeymoon in early 2003. And it was just late one night, I think maybe 3-4 in the morning, and I'm like, you know, I've been thinking about this for eons. I've been essentially planning out the whole entire drive for eons. Well, let's just start writing. And I went to the computer, turned it on, and didn't stop writing till about 10, 11 that morning. So I wrote, probably just spooged out a million things that night. Couldn't tell you what the first one was, though.
Oh, I see, yeah. But the idea already was there, of like, this band, all sort of together.
Yes.
And then this. Now, you don't necessarily cross-current the bands. It's alphabetically listed. So,
right.
Well, let's give them an example of a kind of, not a kind of music, but a particular performer. Let's say.
The all-time classic band that, you know, stretches through all sorts of generations. My folks love them, and my folks believe that music ended when they broke up. Yet people my age are still liking them, and people 20 years younger than I am are still liking them, is the Beatles.
Who? I've never
heard of them. Yeah. They had these four guys.
Obscure, and that's what your book is about, obscure bands, like the Beatles.
The Ruddles, yeah.
This isn't even funny. Okay? I'm sorry. I just groped for humor there. But okay, yes, the Beatles, that's the obvious one to grasp for.
Right.
So
the idea is to basically take people from this immortal, all-time great classic band, the Beatles, and take them to stuff that has a similar essence, but is less well-known. And so some of my favorites along those kind of lines would be starting with The Zombies, Odyssey, and Oracle. Wonderful, wonderful Baroque British pop band from the mid-late 60s.
Well, did they do She's Not There? Is that theirs?
That's right. That was one of their singles. But Odyssey and Oracle kind of expands upon that whole entire vibe with a slightly more psychedelicized sort of feeling, the way, say, Revolver or Sgt. Pepper would.
Right. And Magical Mysteries are, of course. Yeah.
Another great album that I always recommend to Beatles fans is Love's Forever Changes.
Arthur Lee,
exactly. Again, was able to really cross through lots of styles of music, whether it be folk, whether it be psychedelic rock, whether it be pop, whether it be soul, and kind of blend it into this beautiful kaleidoscopic whole. I get more people who tell me, you know, Forever Changes my favorite album of all time. More in the straightforward kind of pop kind of vein, I think Todd Rundgren's Something Anything from 1973 is another one of those classic Beatles-esque albums. Flows through a whole bunch of styles, a double album, and really, really nails, I think, particularly the more Paul McCartney-esque style of pop songwriting.
Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, I don't know if it's in there, but XTC would come to mind.
They could, in parts.
Right.
I love XTC. I mean, obviously, they went through a whole entire stylistic change. The early stuff is a little more jagged and jittery, and the later stuff is a little bit more orchestral.
Especially from, like, Murmur on to Oranges and Lemons.
Skylarking and Oranges and Lemons. My guess is, and I definitely was thinking of putting them there, my guess is that a lot of Beatles fans might be put off by the more new wave-ish sort of tendencies. So I tried to hew a little bit closer to the pole in making the connections, but just tried to make it a little more obscure.
Sure.
Like, for example, my favorite pick that I put in under the Beatles, and maybe we'll have a chance to play something from him later on today, is a guy named Emmett Rhodes. Who put out one of the great lost gems of pop history in the early 70s, his self-titled debut. I have a compilation of his called Daisy Fresh from Hawthorne, California, which is just the most magnificent album Paul McCartney never made.
Well, all right, so if you were to pick a Paul McCartney song or a Paul McCartney Beatles song that kind of goes with Emmett Rhodes really well, what would that be and what would the Rhodes song be? A little Emmett Rhodes and the Beatles on Dave's Gone By on this sort of musical edition of the show, because we have a guest who is talking music with us. His name is Ari Abramowitz, and he's written the Pocket Rocket Music Finder Guide. Actually, I threw the word guide in there. It's just the Pocket Rocket Music Finder, which tells people not only a little bit about the bands that they know and already like, but what other bands and artists sound or are in the same genre and field as the bands that they know and like. So, for example, as we heard, Paul McCartney and the Beatles from sort of a little bit of the psychedelic era going and bouncier stuff going into Emmett Rhodes, whom you may not have heard of so much. So let's do a little more of this. What's another band and another artist or groups of artists that are in the same wavelength?
Well, you told me you're a big fan of Tori Amos.
Oh, I'm a fan of Tori, yeah.
Who is a magnificent live performer. I've seen her a bunch of times, including twice on her first tour, and can be very dazzling.
Well, yeah.
And so I brought a bunch of stuff that would be in her kind of vibe as well. I brought some stuff going backwards as well as moving forward. A lot of people like to point out when she first came out that she was very much influenced by Kate Bush.
Yeah.
One of my very, very favorite performers of all time. And we're still waiting for the new album from her.
Is she really?
Supposedly.
15 years,
Oh, man. I've been hearing now for over a year that she's supposed to be coming out with a new album this year. And I hope that is true.
I bet she sounds like Tom Waits now.
I'm
dreaming. Sorry.
Probably not going to be like that, but I think she's just dazzling. And for people who have maybe who are perhaps a little bit younger and are just getting into Tori now or have gotten into Tori on some of her earlier albums, mm-hmm. I think should definitely check out some of Kate's stuff.
I agree, yeah. And I see the resemblance there. I mean, you can also say, it's because there's flighty poetic stuff, the voice is going, I don't know, 4 or 5 octaves, something like that.
Right.
There's trills.
And virtuosic piano playing as
yeah.
well.
And I mean, you can see those are some
often, erotically charged lyrics as well.
Yeah, that's true. I don't think Kate ever went. I mean, she said nice things about sex, but I don't think she ever went where Tori went.
Kate's pretty out there. In fact, either of the tracks I play today, I think will show that.
Assuming we can play them all.
The track I'd like to play is "Breathing" from Never Forever, which is
oh,
my
yeah.
favorite Kate album, which
cool.
I think is pretty pretty intense.
Well, why don't we hear that? Why don't we? Well, actually, Kate Bush. And Tori Amos, but pick one other artist. Maybe we can
yeah,
do
I
want like
to play another
banger.
Artist. There's a young artist, a Russian girl, who moved to New York relatively recently and was doing really neat stuff. Her name's Regina Spektor.
Mm-hmm.
And just came out with, I think, her second album. It is called Russian Kitsch.
Okay.
And she's a very disarming talent, kind of quirky, definitely piano-based, has an unusual idiosyncratic voice. Reminds, I would say Tori, but not virtuosic that way. Some people have told me that she reminds them a little bit of Bjork's vocal intonations.
Oh, okay.
She reminds me also a little bit of Carolyn Crowley from a British band from the early 90s called Shelley and Orphan, with a lot of her little trills and little vocal
right.
murmurs and mannerisms. And has some interesting song structures that don't necessarily follow verse-chorus kind of mode. She's just doing some interesting stuff, and I think she deserves a wider audience.
So that would be Regina Spektor. So let's hear a little bit of, let's pick a Tori song, and then a bit of a Kate Bush song, and some Regina, and we'll hear kind of how they all flow into each other.
Hi, this is Ari Abramowitz of the Pocket Rocket Music Finder on Dave's Gone By, AM 1240 WGBB.
Well, taking a bit of a musical female pilgrimage there through eclectic, slightly eccentric, and pianistic artists, like Regina Spektor and Kate Bush, and opening the set with some Tori Amos. And we did that to demonstrate how, yes, they're obviously different people, but they also have some similarities. And if you like one, you just might like the others. And that is the point of a book by Ari Abramowitz. The book is called Pocket Rocket, P-O-C-K-I-T-R-O-C-K-I-T, Music Finder. And that's what it helps you do. It helps you find music that sounds sort of like... it's not trying to clone, it's not trying to say, oh, you know, as unfortunately so many radio formats do, that it should sound all alike, a cookie cutter like disco. No, but the idea is if you like a certain thing, you just might like something that's related but a little different, and who knows, if you're adventurous, that could lead to something else entirely, and something else beyond that. Certainly, folks who listen to early Tom Waits wouldn't have expected what he would end up doing around Swordfish Trombones. And yet, if you like the early Tom Waits, you just might like the later, and all the things in between, and the people he influenced, and also sound like him. Anyway, moving away from Tom Waits, we wanted to talk about a more gentle singer-songwriter, died rather young, called Nick Drake, who I like quite a bit. He only had 3 albums, or 3.5, before he died. And Ari was going to tell us some folks who are reminiscent of his kind of very folky, gentle, dreamy, beautifully guitar-oriented work.
But also distinctly British and slightly Baroque as well.
Mm, okay.
And my favorite, I think, could be due for a kind of Nick Drake-ish sort of renaissance. If people just picked up some of his stuff, which has been remastered now. A guy named Duncan Brown. Also British, a wonderful fingerpick-style guitar player, and an excellent vocalist as well. Very much in Nick Drake style. Again, Baroque British folk, you know, folk revival in the early 70s. With his voice sounds almost, again, slightly McCartney-esque. Love his stuff. His first album was called Give Me, Take You.
Okay.
And his second album was just self-titled. Both are fantastic and highly recommended. If we can, I'd like to play a track off of his first album called Ninepence Worth of Walking.
A little bit of Duncan Brown there on Dave's Gone By, because he sounds like Nick Drake, and because Nick Drake sounds like someone else a little bit, and he so-and-so sounded like someone else, and so on and so on and so on. That's the point of the book by Ari Abramowitz called Pocket Rocket Music Finder, finding the music that sounds like other music that you might like.
I got my start, you know, with classic rock. I mean, so it all started for me with Zeppelin, Sabbath, Deep Purple, Hendrix.
Oh, okay.
You know, as a young kid getting into music, it started off with the heavy stuff. Floyd was my very first concert. Saw them at the Brendan Byrne Arena in 1987.
Yeah.
For a momentary lapse of reason. But today, you know, by now, I go off in a bazillion different directions. I mean, some of my favorite albums from last year include The Wonderments' Mind If We Make Love to You. They actually are very much in the post-Beach Boys sort of kind of vibe. And in fact, they were Brian Wilson's backing band on his last several tours.
Cool.
And their album is just fantastic. Every single song is just pop brilliance. But on the other hand, I loved Mastodon's Leviathan album, which is just excellent, excellent, pummeling, slightly progressive heavy metal. And covers everything in between. There are a lot of post-Norah Jones female singer-songwriters that did some great albums last year. I thought Rachel Yamagata's album was excellent.
Yeah.
I thought A Girl Called Eddie's self-titled album was fantastic as well.
Was that Eddie Reader?
Or no, she just called A Girl Called Eddie.
Okay.
And fantastic stuff. But then again, there was some great heavy stuff, too. Pelican's Australasia was just mind-blowing, heavy, heavy instrumental metal. And High on Fire's Blessed Black Wings was a brutal, brutal album as well.
Now, let me ask you, do you work in the music industry? I mean, aside from writing this book, in the sense that, how are you finding out about these, to me? And I like a lot of music. I'm not the most into it, but I mean, you're blasting me with some obscure things here.
I spend 8-10 hours a day listening to music. I go into record stores. Thankfully, several of them let me go in with my Discman. I can just listen to stuff left and right. I spend hours surfing the web trying to find stuff. I sometimes hear maybe a one-liner about a band someplace, any place. And then I'll go and try to find stuff online and then check it out and see if it fits anywhere, see if it's good.
Do you have a day job?
What's that?
Do you have a day job?
Well, so far this is selling all right to make ends meet. I
well,
definitely
we,
would like to take it to another level, of course, but it's doing all right.
Well, no, but I meant, in other words, what were you doing before you wrote the book?
Ah, before I wrote the book, I spent several years on Wall Street, actually, working as an equity analyst.
Right.
Eventually, I wanted to find something more fulfilling. I met up with some people who were running a booking agency. So I started booking concerts for about a year, year and a half after that.
Cool.
And then while I was doing that, I started realizing, hey, the real way of my future is aiding and enabling music discovery.
Is there a volume two?
Yes, I'm working on the second edition right now. That should be coming out in October. And also, I'm working hard on my website right now, which basically is not limited by space. The book has got to be short, compact, and accessible, so I only have so much room to work with. Online, on my website, I'm going to have an infinite amount of space to include anyone and everyone that I can.
Let me ask about getting... Did you publish this yourself, or did you go to another... So how many...
I'm curious about that. There's a friend of mine who publishes a very well-known and very successful, let's say, lounge and club guide.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember having breakfast with him one day, maybe a couple of years ago, and he told me, if you ever plan on making any money off of a book, do it yourself. Publishers do two things, he told me. He said they print up the book for you, which you can do yourself at almost the same price.
Mm-hmm.
And two, they do distribute it
right.
for you. They get it into stores. However, the bottleneck of the entire process, whether you have a publisher or whether you're doing it yourself, is not distribution as much as it is promotion. And most publishers, he told me, unless you're a big, big name, are not going to be spending that much money to promote it. So you're going to have to do the heavy lifting to get out there and promote it. So if you're going to have to do that anyway, you sure as heck might as well keep ownership of the product. You got to make phone calls and you got to say, hey, look at this. Tell me if you think this is something that your customers would like.
Right.
Fortunately, the people at Tower Records were fantastic.
Mm.
They enjoyed the book, and they took it on for national distribution. Fortunately, the people at Urban Outfitters were fantastic
Great.
Cool. And they dug the book and brought it in for national distribution as well. Barnes & Noble was really cool. They didn't take it in for national, but they distributed at certain select stores around the country. So you got to find a couple of people who are willing to have the guts to go to bat for you,
right.
and who believe in what it is you do. And fortunately, I've been lucky that way.
Are you going to write any other kind of book or guide, or is this what you're concentrating on?
To be determined. You know, a lot of people, whenever I show this, are like, wow, this is totally cool. And you can do, you can do like a Pocket Rocket Blues Finder, maybe, and you can do a Pocket Rocket Metal Finder, and you can do a Pocket Rocket Folk Finder. You could definitely branch it out into genre-specific sort of editions. So that's definitely one option. And I'm mulling that over right now. Right now, I'm still trying to, I think, work into the eclecticism that I think that most people really, really live with and live by. But, you know, if the time is right, I will definitely go and do specific genre editions as well.
Yeah, and also one of the things that I wanted to just sort of suggest, not that, as you said, since you're already listening to 8 to 10 hours of music a day just trying to deal with that, but I would have liked to have seen more foreign stuff. I would have really liked to see, like, Russian and Japanese, and to really go out there, since it's now assumedly in some way all available through the web and through Amazon and eBay and Half.com, to sort of say, oh, well, you know, there's a Russian band that's very Beatles-esque from a, and there are, you know, so.
I was in the Czech Republic, caught a couple of really, really cool bands while I was there. Not necessarily Beatles-esque, but maybe more Zappa-esque.
It was Plastic People of the Universe out in Czechoslovakia that were one of the not causes of the revolution over there, but or the
they definitely sided with it
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, and that was so Zappa influenced.
Very Zappa, a little bit of Velvet Power. Underground with them as well.
Right? Yeah,
but there was a band I checked out while I was there called Užme Doma.
Oh well, yeah,
which is just fantastic, really mind-boggling band, really really entertaining, good stuff. Hi, this is Ari Abramowitz rocking out with some of the best music you've never heard in your life on Dave's Gone By, AM 1240 WGBB.
Ari, what you got for us to go out on?
We are going to conclude with a rousing track, I think, by a guy named Paul Gilbert.
Hmm.
Dazzling guitarist, used to be in a band called Racer X. That was very Van Halen-esque. Then he went solo, and it's much more in the big, great power pop, Cheap Trick tradition, and I think we'll all feel really good. This track's called my religion.